Let the children of salvation lift their praises on high. Hallelujah. So we welcome one another this morning in the name of Jesus, and God welcomes us here into this place as we bring praise and exaltation to Him. I want us to stand. We're going to have our opening prayer with our whole bodies. First of all, we'll raise our arms up to praise God, and then to the side to have compassion on the world, and then forward to receive, to give ourselves to God in this hour, and bring back to receive what God has for us. Right. Let us pray. Oh God, we bring this morning our praise and thanks to You. You are the Lord of creation. You are the ones who have made us and who love us. And so we bring ourselves and all of the world so broken. We come with compassion, praying for the wholeness of the world. And now we offer all that we are to You in this hour. And we pray that we may receive what You have for us, that we may listen well, that we may be able to sing and pray and join together in worship for You. And we hold our hands over our heart. We do all this in the name of Christ, our Lord and our Savior. We thank You in Jesus' name. And so let us open our hymnals now and we will sing together. Number 583, O Power of Love.
So, yeah, we'll go to 593.
Oh,
In the same book, number 377, Healer of Our Every Ill. 377.
Give us peace beyond our fear and hope beyond our sorrow. Lord, you look on our hearts. You know us. You know us so well. God of love, we have sinned in the wrongs that we have done. We have sinned in the goodness that we have not done. We have sinned in ignorance, in weakness, and we have sinned through our own deliberate fault. and we are truly sorry. We turn to you, we ask you, forgive us and renew us through the Lord Jesus Christ. The Lord is merciful and gracious, slow to anger and abounding in steadfast love. He will not always accuse, nor will he keep his anger forever. He does not deal with us according to our sins, nor repay us according to our iniquities. In fact, Christ Jesus came into the world to save sinners, to all who confess their sins and resolve to live a new life. The Lord Jesus says, "Your sins are forgiven." For as the heavens are high above the earth, so great is God's steadfast love toward those who fear him. As far as the east is from the west, so far he removes our transgressions from us. As a parent has compassion on his children, so the Lord has compassion for those who fear him. For he knows how we were made. The Lord remembers that we are dust. And so we pray, Lord, give us strength to love each other, every sister, every brother. You who know each thought and feeling, teach us all your way of healing, spirit of kindness, spirit of compassion. Fill our hearts, be our guide. So let us stand to receive words of assurance. Sisters and brothers, God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, has mercy on us and forgives us our sins. And so let us live as people set free from sin, and let us live in the peace of Christ and share that peace with the world. The peace of Christ be with you. Time for the children, other children here, you may come forward.
Well, it's good to see you, Johan, and good to see you too, Michael. I'll pass this basket around. Small class today, but a class nonetheless. This basket will become full of blessings for people in order to do God's work. Check out this piece of paper. Uh-oh. I just ripped it. What do you think I should do? It's a good thing I ripped it, I think, because I came prepared. I brought tape. So I'm going to tape it back together real quick, and then we're going to take a look at it. It's a pretty good rip. It went all the way through. You ever tape paper together, Ren?
No.
No? You don't rip it. Is that how it goes?
He does. All
right. So let's take a look at it now. Is it pretty much good as new, right?
Yeah.
Pretty much? Is it exactly the same?
No.
What's different about it?
Because those tapes in there, they're still cracking.
There's still a crack in it, so I didn't tape it.
And it's also not the exact way it was.
It's not the exact way it was. There's tape on it that you can see. It's not invisible, even though it tries to say it is. You can't really write on that. There's a crack in it. Yeah, it's not the same as it was when I started a minute ago, right? And I think this paper might help us understand a little bit about healing today. So that word healing is related to the word for whole. So when we heal something, it means make it the whole thing again. So I tried my best to heal this paper, to make it the whole thing again, right? And kind of like when you get a cut on your skin, you know it's healed when the skin's not broken anymore, right? When it's the whole thing again. Do you know what happens when you get a really big cut after it heals? What's left? Do you know what you call that? It's the scar. That's right. So just like this paper, when we get healed, it's not exactly the same. We're not exactly the same. We have a scar. I have a really big scar on my knee. Do you guys want to see it?
Yeah.
It's pretty sweet. Check it out. Oh, yeah. That's a nice one, right? It's a good one. And there's a good story to go with it. I broke my leg a long while ago. And the doctors, in order to fix my bones, they had to cut open my knees so they could get in and fix my bones. And now this scar reminds me, and it helps me tell this story of how I broke my leg. And I remember how much it hurt to have a broken bone and how long it took for the bone to heal. And how many people helped me when I couldn't walk like normal. I had to use crutches and people had to help me carry things. And I remember all of those things and how God helped heal my leg and how long it took. And that scar helps me tell the story, right? Once I was hurt, now I'm healed. And I thank God because of that. So scars are really important. Just think if we didn't even get scars after we got healed, right? If nobody ever had scars, how would we ever remember how bad things hurt? And how would we ever remember how God helped us heal? How God helped our bodies heal?
My arm went to the plates that are in my arm wouldn't be there since they would jiggle out.
Yeah.
If it couldn't grow, it was gone.
You might forget about how you were hurt. And if you forget about how you're hurt, you can never tell the story of how you got better, right? So I think scars are important for stories. You know, even Jesus has scars that he tells stories about. Hands and feet and his side. We remember those scars every Easter. We remember the story of how God healed Jesus and brought him back from being dead. That's a kind of healing, isn't it? We remember it on purpose. But without those scars, how would we remember? We need the scars for the story. So today we're going to hear in just a minute from the Bible a story about a man who Jesus healed, who God healed, right? And this man was so excited to be healed that he wanted to be around Jesus for forever. He wanted to stick right close to Jesus. And I think maybe he wanted to be close to Jesus because in case he got hurt again, he wanted to be close to his doctor. But you know what Jesus told this guy after he was so excited to be healed? He didn't tell you, oh, you can hang out with me forever. He said, no, you need to go and tell all of your friends what God did for you. So our job, once we're healed, is to thank God and to tell stories about how we were healed to all of our friends and all of our family and the whole world. And you know what? I bet everyone we tell also has a story of how God healed them. And if everybody keeps telling those stories of how God heals us, I think that would be a good thing. All right, let's pray. God, thank you that we don't stay hurt forever. Thank you for Band-Aids and hot water and the time it takes for our wounds to heal. Remind us to tell our stories. Give us scars so we can tell how you are God for us. Keep all of these children safe. Keep all of this family safe. In Jesus' name, amen.
Jesus and his disciples were in a boat crossing the Sea of Galilee. The reading is from Luke chapter 8, verse 26. Then they arrived at the country of the Gerasenes, which is opposite Galilee. As he stepped out on land, a man of that city who had demons met Jesus. For a long time, this man had worn no clothes, and he did not live in a house, but he lived in the tombs. When he saw Jesus, he fell down before him and shouted at the top of his voice, "What have you to do with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I beg you, do not torment me." For Jesus had commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man. Many times the demon had seized him. He was kept under guard and bound with chains and shackles. But he would break the bonds and be driven by that demon into the wilds. And Jesus asked him, "What is your name?" And he said, "Legion," for many demons had entered him. And they begged him not to order them to go back into the abyss.
Lucas 8, 26. Después arribaron a la tierra de los Gerasenos, que está en la ribera opuesta a Galilea. Cuando él llegó a tierra, vino a su encuentro un hombre de la ciudad que estaba endemoniado. Hacía mucho tiempo que no se vestía ni vivía en una casa, sino en los sepulcros. Cuando el endemoniado vio a Jesús, se arrodilló delante de él, lanzó un fuerte grito y le dijo, "Jesús, Hijo del Dios Altísimo, ¿qué tienes que ver conmigo? Te ruego que no me atormentes." Y es que Jesús le ordenaba al espíritu impuro que saliera del hombre, porque hacía mucho tiempo que se había apoderado de él. Aunque lo ataban con cadenas y grilletes, él rompía las cadenas y el demonio lo llevaba a lugares apartados. Jesús le preguntó, "¿Cómo te llamas?" Y él respondió, "Legión", porque eran muchos los demonios que habían entrado en él. Y le rogaban a Jesús que no los mandara al abismo.
Now there was on the hillside a large herd of swine, pigs. They were feeding there. The demons begged Jesus to let them enter into these, so he gave them permission. Then the demons came out of the man and entered into the swine, and the herd rushed down the steep bank into the lake and was drowned. When the swineherds saw what had happened, they ran off and told it in the city and in the country.
Como allí había un gran hato de cerdos que pacían en el monte, los demonios le rogaron a Jesús que los dejara entrar a ellos. Y él les dio permiso. Una vez fuera del hombre, los demonios entraron en los cerdos y estos se lanzaron al lago por un despeñadero y allí se ahogaron. Cuando los que apacentaban los cerdos vieron lo sucedido, huyeron y fueron a contar todo esto en la ciudad y por los campos.
And then the people came out to see what had happened. And when they came to Jesus, they found this man from whom the demons had gone out, sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind. And they were afraid. Those who had seen it told them how the one who had been possessed by demons had been healed. Then all the people of the surrounding country of the Gerasenes asked Jesus to leave them, for they were seized with great fear. So Jesus got into the boat and returned. The man from whom the demons had gone begged that he might be with him. But Jesus sent him away, saying, "Return to your home and declare how much God has done for you. So he went away, proclaiming throughout the city how much Jesus had done for him.
La gente salió a ver lo que había sucedido. Cuando llegaron a donde estaba Jesús, se encontraron con que el hombre de quien había salido los demonios estaba sentado a los pies de Jesús, vestido en su cabal juicio. Y tuvieron miedo. Los que había visto de esto les contaron cómo había sido salvado el endemoniado. Entonces toda la gente de la región de los gerasenos lo rogó a Jesús que se alejara de ellos, pues tenían mucho miedo. Así que Jesús entró en la barca y se fue. El hombre de quien había salido los demonios le rogaba que lo dejara estar con él, pero Jesús le despidió y le dijo: vuelve a tu casa y cuenta ahí todo lo que Dios ha hecho contigo. Entonces el hombre se fue y contó por toda la ciudad lo que Jesús había hecho con él.
The word of the Lord.
La palabra de Dios. Gracias.
Our preacher this morning is Ben Bauman, who is a student at the seminary here, and for the summer is serving this congregation as an intern. We're very happy to have Ben as our preacher this morning. So he will come now and we will give a prayer for him. Lord God, we thank you for this hour, this time to be together, to hear your word for us. So we pray that you will be with Ben as he speaks and with us as we listen, that we may take to heart and to our lives the word that you have for us. Thank you in the name of Jesus. Amen.
This story feels a little foreign to me. Of course, I do not often travel by boat, nor do I spend much time with pigs. I also do not spend a lot of time and interact with naked people living in the cemeteries. However, the thing that is most foreign to me, and perhaps to you as well, is the language of demons and possessions and exorcising. Just to be clear, that's exorcising, not exercising. Before we get too far into this story, I want to briefly recap how Jesus and his disciples got here. Immediately preceding this story, Jesus and his disciples are traveling across the Sea of Galilee, going from Jewish territory to Gentile territory. As they are traveling across this relatively small body of water, a storm arises and the waves start to crash into the boat. Jesus is sleeping, and the disciples start to panic. Rushing over to Jesus, they scream, "We are perishing!" Jesus demonstrates his power over nature by calming the storm. The disciples are dumbfounded and afraid. After this incredible event, they land in the country of Gerasenes, which is opposite of Galilee. And as soon as Jesus steps one foot out of the boat, a man from the city, who is described as having demons, interacts with Jesus. The narrator of this story then provides a little information about this man. For a long time, he has gone without clothes. He's also not living at home. He's in the tombs. This man is unclean and an outcast in many ways. He is not welcome in many Jewish circles, for he is not only a Gentile, but he is naked and living in the tombs. But he courageously comes to Jesus, falls down before him, and speaks, well, rather shouts at the top of his voice, we are told, "What have you to do with me, Jesus, Son of the Most High God? I beg you, do not torment me." Is this the man speaking or the demons inside of him? The narrator of our story provides a little aside and perhaps a clue to who is speaking to Jesus. For Jesus had just commanded the unclean spirit to come out of the man. Here we learn a little bit more about this man and his history. This unclean spirit has seized this man many, many times, and thus the city kept him under guard and bound with chains and shackles. However, this man was so overcome by the demon, he would break the bonds and be driven into the wilds. What is going on with this man? We don't know exactly his situation, but we are beginning to get a picture of the severity of what this man is facing. This man is in dire need, and he is facing some sort of terrible evil. And whether it's his fault or not, we are not told. But unfortunately, the community surrounding him has chosen to isolate him and bind him up like an animal, instead of surrounding him with love and care. Jesus asks for his name. The man replies, "Legion," a Latin term referring to a group of about 4,000 to 6,000 Roman soldiers. And while this is probably not the man's actual name, it likely gives further evidence of the severity of the situation. This man is not facing just one demon, but thousands. There is no denying it. He needs help. What does this story have to do with us today? Many of us don't really talk about folks having demons like they did in Jesus' time. Do demons even exist? And if so, how do we understand them? And what does it mean to exorcise? And do we do that today? It is easy to get stuck in the details and the foreignness of this story. But today I want us to keep a bigger picture. This is simply a story about a man in desperate need, as are many of us. There are evil forces at work today. Perhaps some of you are familiar with the recent news about Luke Hartman, a man who held leadership positions at Eastern Mennonite University in Harrisonburg, Virginia. Details are still coming out about the abuse that he caused. Recently, I had the opportunity to read the incredible story of one woman, Lauren Shiflett, who was abused and stalked by Luke repeatedly over the years. This story is shared on a website called Our Stories Untold, which is a blog dedicated to sharing stories about sexual violence and rape in both the Mennonite church and in all spiritual communities. The story that Lauren shares is a testimony to the evil at work in our society and the devastating conditions that it leaves people, especially young women, in. In her blog, Lauren mentions that we each have metaphorical matches. She writes, "We all hold the gift to bring a flicker of light into someone's darkness. We also hold the power to burn and destroy someone's world." She mentions the first match to destroy hers. "The first match that set my world on fire was struck in sixth grade when I was quickly labeled as ugly by many of my peers. My red hair and pale skin became a constant source of ridicule. She was confused yet pleased when a boy wanted to be her boyfriend. But unfortunately," she writes, "an entire room of our peers zeroed in on us holding hands one day and decided to convince this boy to break up with me in front of everyone. They laughed at him for dating someone who wasn't pretty or popular enough for him. They called him blind and stupid. They called me boring and said she's not even that skinny. This boy who loved me let go of my hand and listened intently as his friends suggested other girls who were better options for him. I felt something so much worse than feeling ugly. I felt unlovable. I should look back and think that was just sixth grade. It was all so silly. But I can't. That moment triggered my habit of squinting when I looked in the mirror so I could blur out my flaws. I began to have trouble looking people in the eye because my mind would wonder which part of me they were deciding they hated most. Later on, as a teenager and after some abusive encounters, she writes, I felt like I was in a state, constant state of hurt, anger, and loneliness that I couldn't process or understand. I hid it well because as a teenager, the only thing more embarrassing than being mistreated is acknowledging that it's even happening. She finally got the courage to go to a trusted adult in her church, an adult who would later use his position and his power to abuse and take advantage of this young woman. I'm not here to go into the details of her story. The point that I want to make is that although we no longer talk about demons or evil spirits or forces or powers or whatever you want to call it, I don't believe that for one second these powers don't exist in our world today. How else do we name the ridicule that kids offer each other? How else do we name the terrible abuse administered by those in power? How else do we name what overcomes someone to shoot up a bar in Orlando? How else do we name the addictions that plague our lives? Oh God, what the hell is going on? Why do you let this evil and suffering continue? Like the man possessed with demons, Lauren is in incredible need. Like the man possessed with demons, we are in incredible need. Some of us in this room are painfully aware of our great need. Cancer, anxiety, depression, heart disease, migraines, abuse, addictions, all show us our need. Others of us, myself included, have a difficult time understanding this great need since we are blinded and falsely protected by our money, our privilege, and our status. Why would I need God when I can take care of everything myself? But wherever we are at, we are in need. And we need a God to break into this suffering and this evil and to heal our broken world. Where is this God? After Jesus' brief exchange with the demons, knowing Jesus' authority, they beg him to go into the pigs feeding nearby. And for whatever reason, Jesus allows this. The demons come out of the man, enter what may be thousands of pigs who rush down the steep bank and into the lake. I and many biblical scholars don't know what to do with this. But one thing can be said. This mind-boggling image of thousands of pigs running to their death is an incredible visual representation of what this man has actually faced. The power of the forces that possess this man is demonstrated in the destruction of these pigs. The text then tells us that the swineherds run off to tell everyone in the city and the country what happened. No doubt. Wouldn't you run like mad if this happened to the pigs that you were taking care of? The people from the city and the country then come out to see what has happened. And instead of finding a naked, crazy, dirty man, they find him sitting at the feet of Jesus, clothed and in his right mind. Just incredible. Jesus has demonstrated his power over the evil spirits at work. Jesus has healed this man. Like the disciples who were awed and afraid by the power that Jesus demonstrated over the stormy waters, these townspeople are afraid of Jesus. They ask him to leave. Jesus accepts their request and gets in the boat ready to leave. But before he can leave, the man who had the demons begs to go with Jesus. And we might expect Jesus to gladly agree, because not only has Jesus on numerous occasions encouraged people to follow him, but he has just granted some requests to the unclean spirits in this man. Instead, Jesus sends him back to his community, to his home, to declare how much God has done for him. And indeed, this is what the man does. He goes home, proclaiming throughout the city how much Jesus has done for him. And this man's continued presence in the community is a continual and ongoing testimony to that community. They are constantly reminded of the unbelievable healing that has occurred within this man's life. What an image. A man goes from being naked, isolated, lonely, living in the tombs, to healed, clothed, in his right mind, and living at home in his community. He is whole. And a man who is quite outside the defined boundaries of Jewish acceptance is warmly included. Based on how this story has come to us, the healing and return to wholeness has happened very quickly. Although this man had been possessed by demons and suffering for a long time, in one day, this healing transformation takes place. But of course, as many of us know, healing is often not that quick. And indeed, the process of healing has been long and painful for Lauren as well. The abuse that she experienced lasted for years. She was afraid, confused, ashamed, alone, and living in secrecy. Yet somehow, some way, she was eventually able to share her experience with another person in church. I would love to report that the church responded well to her sharing and that no further revictimization occurred, but I cannot. Although they listened to her and stopped Luke from abusing her, she continued to feel marginalized by the church and felt that they were protecting her abuser more than her by wanting to keep the situation quiet. Thankfully, in spite of the church's response, her sharing opened up the possibility of healing. Years later, she is not healed, but she is healing. She writes, "For the longest time, I have insisted to my inner circle that all my past trauma feels as though it happened to another person. I suppose to some extent that is true. I am a profoundly different person today than I was then. But I realize now, the moment I attempted to separate the girl I was from the girl I am now, I made a huge mistake. I essentially tore my soul into pieces and forced the girl I was into the darkest corner of my mind in a disastrous attempt and failure to leave her and the pain she experienced behind. But that girl is not apart from me. She is simply younger me." Later she writes, "I was petrified to attach my name to this story. I am petrified to attach my name to this story, but I'm willing to risk any amount of backlash for the sake of embracing my younger me, who is willing to tough through a hell of a lot more to get me right here, right now." Lauren was able to have the incredible courage to face the demons that were afflicting her. Many of us in this room have our own experiences with temptations, suffering, and evil. And with courage, many of us have sought healing and experienced it. Thanks be to God for healing that has occurred in our lives. Others in this room have sought healing and have not been healed yet. Why do some experience healing and others don't? Why do some suffer for so much longer than others? I do not know why we suffer or why, although we desperately want healing, it does not come. We live in this difficult in-between time, a time in which we believe and know that God has the power to destroy evil, and yet it still exists. But what this story in the Gospel of Luke tells us, and indeed the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus, is that not only does God have the desire to bring healing into our lives, but God has the power to do so. In this time, we do not experience the full restoration and reconciliation that God has promised us, but we have faith that our God is a God of healing and wholeness, that our God has overcome the evil and sin of this world, and someday will complete the work that has begun. In this in-between time, we are called to partner with God in a mission of bringing healing to ourselves and to those around us in any way we can. And while we each have a role in our and others' healing, we must recognize that it is ultimately God who heals. Some of us have experienced incredible healing in which we can say, like the man in the story, God has done so much for me. Others are still waiting for that healing to happen and may find it more difficult to say. But no matter what our situation is, God has indeed done so much for us. The man who is possessed by demons experienced healing and was encouraged by Jesus to share his story. Lauren, too, experienced the worst that this world has to offer, yet she experienced healing and is now sharing her story with the hopes of bringing healing to others. Stories join us together, and they bring healing. What stories do you have that can be an encouragement to those around you? And while some of us may be uncomfortable with the language of sharing how much God has done for you, I hope we can work past this discomfort and boldly share what God has done for us. God has done so much for you. God has done so much for me. May we live our lives and tell our stories as if it were so. Amen.
Thank you, Ben, for that. We, those of us who would like to continue discussing with Ben during the Sunday school hour, the sermon response class will meet. And Ben will meet with us, and we can open up this question further and go deeper into it together. Thank you.
As a response, take your green... Sing the Journey book, Green Sing the Journey, number 64. Somos el cuerpo de Cristo. And we will sing the first two verses.
Hemos oído el llamado. salvation. Todas las razas que habitan la tierra, all are invited to feast in the banquet.
Let's stand and sing together number 89 in Sing the Story, the Purple Book. 89, Christ is Alive.
Dear friends, because of the life, death, and resurrection of Jesus, may you go out from here today in the power of the Holy Spirit to live to God's honor and glory, to follow Jesus, and to expect that all things will be new. Amen.